Jeff Bean is on a mission.
So I know she's out there somewhere.
Bean is a herpetologist with the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. He's using radio waves to track an elusive pine snake. Trekking through a forest near Laurinburg, he holds a lunchbox-sized receiver. He's trying to pick up the signal from a tracker that a veterinarian implanted inside the snake.
So you can point this antenna. If you point it that way, it's a lot louder. So I know the snake's in that direction.
Bean's been tracking snakes through these woods for almost 20 years. Several times a month, he comes out to see where they are. For the last 6 years, he's been following this one, a female he named Maggie.
I try not to get attached to them. I try to think of them as research subjects, but they're really more like friends, at least from my point of view, not from theirs. They don't care a thing about me and would rather never see me ever again.
But Bean and other scientists care a lot about these snakes. By tracking their movement, Bean learns how they interact with the environment. It turns out these snakes are creatures of habit. They have favorite tree stumps and holes they like to visit again and again. When something interrupts their routine, like a road being built in the middle of their territory, it can be catastrophic.
Automobiles are a big threat to a lot of things out here. Even on these sand roads, they get run over. It's all things people are doing. People are the problem.
And when things change for the snakes, they can change for the whole ecosystem. Only 3% of the longleaf pine ecosystem where these snakes live is left. Jeff Hall works with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. He says what they're learning about Maggie and other snakes will help the state decide which pieces of land to preserve.
None of these species operate in exclusivity. You know, they're connected with one another. And we don't always know exactly what those connections are. Some people talk about it like a car. You know, how many parts can you take off a car and the car still runs?
That's a pretty strong signal.
On this tracking mission, Hall and Bean spend 4 hours combing through briars, crunching through tall grass, and plodding through sandy soil, slowly getting closer to Maggie the pine snake.
I think this part's pretty exciting because you never know exactly what you're going to find when you get to where the snake is.
Maggie doesn't make it easy. When they finally find her, she and another snake are coiled underneath a stump.
You can see that hole's been recently used.
You'd never know there was a snake there.
No, you wouldn't.
We can't see them, but the receiver betrays their hiding spot. Maggie seems to have made her home underground for the winter. Bean will keep tracking her, though, just to make sure things don't change.
I'm spying on them. I know where they're going. And they probably wonder how I keep finding them.
Unless there's a warm spell, Maggie will reemerge in early March. And she can count on Bean being right behind her when she does, trying to protect what's left of her home. In Scotland County, I'm Megan Kane. Anne England and her friends are throwing back beers at the Orange County Social Club.
There just happens to be a mini disaster event going on.
Littering the bar with plastic shot glasses and beer cans. Nothing can be served on the rocks tonight, as the town doesn't have clean running water. Just across the street, crews work to fix a gushing leak that depleted nearly the entire water supply. Linda Lowe of the Orange Water and Sewer Authority blamed a crack in an 80-year-old pipe.
There was a lot of water coming out of that pipe, so it's not so easy for our crew.
Cases of bottled water flew off the shelves at Harris Teeter. UNC senior Nadia Pashnikova grabbed the last two.
The town hasn't let us know when the water's going to be back, so hopefully we don't need any more.
County Commissioner Penny Rich says this is the second major waterline break in less than 2 years.
We need to talk about the infrastructure and make sure that we're checking our infrastructure that's old.
Investigators say it will take a month to figure out what caused the break. In Chapel Hill, I'm Megan Kane. Marine Corps veteran Alan Smith has been at the Durham VA Medical Center for close to a week, recuperating from double knee replacement. But when he meets with his care team, they do more than just record his pulse or his blood pressure or the number of steps he takes in physical therapy. They also record his life story.
I'm going to get really close to you if that's okay with you.
Program coordinator Ease Marie Daly scooches her chair closer to Smith in his hospital room. He's in his wheelchair. She holds a small audio recorder. He talks about fighting in the jungles of Vietnam and being exposed to Agent Orange.
Agent Orange might drop me. They spread it on like mist and rain. They're still dying from it. But I'm still here. I don't know for how long, but I'll be saved in December.
More than 1,000 veterans are sharing stories like this as they pass through VA medical centers around the country. It's part of a program called My Life, My Story. Dr. Christine Immler helps lead the project at the Durham VA. She says it gives veterans a feeling that they're connected to other people, like they were when they served.
When they come back, a lot of times that's missing. And so how do we build that bond, that sense of belonging? And My Life, My Stories is one way to do that.
Volunteers record the stories. They sit with patients for about an hour and talk about their lives. In the 8 months Mara Shurgut has been doing it, she's heard stories of courage, fear, and sacrifice.
When you're speaking with somebody who has jumped out of a plane in the middle of the night during a conflict, who left their family, left their friends, it's just a very humbling experience.
But there's more to this project than just recording memories for posterity. The VA hopes that by hearing veterans' stories, doctors can provide better care. Each story is added to the patient's medical record, where doctors like Christine Immler can read it.
Did it change how I treated his blood pressure? Probably not, but it brought us closer.
Immler says a lot of patients are surprised when they're asked about their life stories. As the largest health system in the country, the VA isn't known for personalized care. It has spent years trying to reform itself after revelations that patients sometimes had to wait months for appointments. Immler says My Life, My Story is a small part of the initiative to change the VA's culture.
These stories cause you to take a deep breath and look at the patient and really understand who they are and remember why most of us went into healthcare in the first place, which is to make a difference in people's lives.
I got 2 daughters and a son.
By the time Alan Smith's interview was done, he had spoken about his 3 marriages, his years of work at a chemical company, and his transition back to civilian life while battling PTSD. He also talked about how these interactions at the VA made him feel.
They treat me good as gold.
My Life, My Story is underway in 25 VA medical centers and is expanding across the country. In Durham, I'm Megan Kane.